Corinthians 11, 23 through 31. I'm going to read out of a slightly different translation this morning, because I want to be very, very, very clear. Amen? I don't want to take any chance this morning. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper. Everyone say after supper.
After supper.
Saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Help me, Lord. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, amen, we would not be judged by God in this way. Amen. I'm going to speak to you today from the title, Appreciating the Lord's Supper. Appreciating the Lord's Supper. For some of you, this is elementary. For some of you, this is review. Bear with me. And for some of you, this is going to be news to you. Amen. I want to make sure that we understand what we're doing here. Notice in verse 25. The words after supper. There was a meal that was eaten before the breaking of bread and the giving of the cup of wine. Also, in that very same verse, notice the words, the phrase, the new covenant between God and his people.
Yes, sir.
An agreement. Amen? Which means there had to be an old covenant first before there was a new covenant. Amen? So what you have here, really, people, are two different meals, two different agreements. Amen? Specifically, two meals that represent or are symbols of two different agreements. Amen? I'm going to say that so you're clear. Two meals representing or symbolic of two different agreements. Amen? My point here today is that we are having the Lord's Supper today.
Yes.
Amen? A meal that symbolizes the church being placed in a new agreement. Amen? Or a new covenant. Amen? But to really appreciate how good the new agreement is, you have to look at the old agreement. Amen? Amen. All right? And so today we're going to be just going over some things where the new agreement and the old agreement and the meals that are there's a lot of symbols, a lot of symbolism where the meals represent both of those agreements. Amen? The danger is this. Coming to the Lord's table when it just becomes routine. Something that we do because, look at the calendar, it's first Sunday. I guess I'm going to get some crackers and juice. So my prayer this morning is that the Lord will open our eyes, enlighten us to see just what Jesus has done for us. Amen. When it comes to the celebration of the Lord's Supper, or should I say the new agreement? Because that's what it really is. Amen. We're celebrating a new arrangement.
That's right.
Amen. All right. And this agreement is between God and his people. All right. Now, very briefly, let's get Luke 24. Let's go to the 14th verse, I think. Is that right? Yes. Yes. All right. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Verse 15 says this. And Jesus said, I've been eager to eat this, what? Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. It's important that we understand this. Jesus was going to fulfill every single thing in the law. And he was going to do it perfectly. Yes. Yes. Amen? Not missing anything. So even in eating the Passover meal, he's doing what he must do to fulfill the covenant or the prophecies or the things that were spoken of him. He had to fulfill the law. Yes. Yes. But even in fulfilling the law, he's about to replace. Oh, amen? He's about to replace the Passover meal. Amen. With the Lord's Supper. Amen. The Passover meal, hear me, just in case some of you don't know, represents when God told the Jews that he was going to send one more plague to break Pharaoh's neck. Amen. And to break his hold over the Jews. The Jews were in slavery and he had them entangled in bondage. They could not get out. Amen. They were slaves in Egypt. And he told them that this last plague, I've sent several things. I've done several things to rattle his cage. But this one, he going to show enough to let you go. Trust me. By the time I'm done with him, he's going to be asking you to leave. And not only that, you're going to leave with a hit with a bunch of stuff. They're going to pay you to leave. Amen. What happened? He sent the death angel. And the death angel killed every firstborn son. And then I looked it up. Not only that, but all the livestock. So the first cow that came out of the other cow, that died. Okay? So he killed up every firstborn son and the livestock. It all died. The only thing that was protected, or the only ones that were protected, was the Israelites. Because why? God made a covenant, an agreement with them. Hear this, people. Why? There was sin in the land. On the Israelite side and on the Egyptian side. Okay? And God requires death as a payment for sin. Hear this, people. He has never changed his requirement about that. Never. And he never will. Amen? He's a perfect God. Amen? All right? But so that God didn't kill up everybody, he told the Israelites, go and pick out a spotless lamb. And not just any lamb. It had to be, don't get some broke down lamb. Okay? Spotless, clean, healthy. Amen? And kill the lamb and smear the blood over the doorpost of your house. And who's ever inside, you and your whole household, you, your family, your cousin, all them, they will be protected. Amen? From the angel of death. When the angel sees the blood, the angel will pass over your house. Amen. So whoever was under the blood was protected. Whoever wasn't under the blood, not protected. And not just against some terrible plague, against the angel of the Lord. Amen. That's important to understand. So they killed the lamb, and then the instructions later on were to eat the lamb as a meal along with other symbolic elements. And I'm going to briefly go through this. You can read through most of it in Exodus 12. Amen. Starting at 11, but the actual meal is found in Exodus 12 with great detail. I don't have a lot of time this morning, but I want to just tell you some of the elements that are symbolic of the Passover. Amen. Let's go to class for a minute. They start off with one cup, the first cup. And this cup was a cup of wine mixed with a whole lot of water. Okay? Catch that. Amen? Little bit of wine, lot of water. Okay? All right? And that blessing was the first blessing, which is basically symbolizing a blessing over the people. And what they did after that is then they would wash their hands. Symbolizing the need for personal holiness, cleansing, washing of sin. Amen. Meaning you didn't just come to the Passover meal any kind of way. Amen. You had to come clean, ceremonially clean. Amen? You didn't come to the Passover casually. Amen? We are washing off the sin. Amen? Washing off the dirt and the grime. Amen? If you were doing wrong, you cleansed yourself ceremonially before you partook of the cup of wine, before you partook of the Passover meal. Amen? All right? And it represented being cleaned by God. Uh-huh. Then they had these bitter herbs. Okay? And the bitter herbs were mixed into this paste. Uh-huh. And that paste was kind of something that was symbolizing the bricks that they used to make, that they used to use to make the bricks for Pharaoh when they were in slavery. And the bitter herbs represented bitter times with Pharaoh. Amen? Bad times. Being stuck in something and can't get out. It's bitter times. Amen? It's times of affliction and poverty. Extreme affliction and great poverty. It's bitter times, not the good old days, not the great times. Amen? Not the good times that you used to spend or when you were having fun. This is bitter times. Something's wrong when you look at your past sinful ways before you were snatched out of the hand of Pharaoh and you have fond memories of your rebellion against God. Amen? It's just mama. Amen? So these were bitter times. Amen? Bitter times when if something's wrong when you have fond memories before you were snatched out of the clutches of Satan. Amen? So it represents a bitterness. There should not be, oh, I remember the good old days when we used to. No. No, there's something wrong when you have fond memories of rebelling against God. Amen? Okay? Check yourself there. That's not good. Amen? So it represented bad times, being stuck in sin, could not get free. Amen? You dipped the bread into the bitter herbs, the bitter paste. Amen? And not just any bread. Wonder bread ain't going to do it. Okay? Not just any bread. It's unleavened bread. Let me just teach you this. The Passover lasted pretty much one day, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was 7 days after. So there was a combination. The two were almost so combined in Jewish culture that they called the Passover an 8-day festival, when it was really broken up into two things. And what ended up happening is basically they would eat the Passover meal, and then they would celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And what is the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Well, unleavened bread is made without yeast. Okay? The leaven, it represents the influence of the Egyptian culture in the Israelites' way. Okay, so what you're having here is leaven represents the old Egyptian ways that they learned when they were in Egypt, when they were in slavery. So God was saying, don't bring the old you into the new you. That old influence that you came from, don't bring that old you into the new you that I'm making you. You understand what I'm saying? I've given you new life. I've delivered you from that old stuff. Don't go back to it. Don't go back. Sin is broken. Amen? You have to understand your position. Amen? What God has done for you. So the little yeast, a small piece, would work itself into the dough. It worked itself into the dough. And that's all it took to get sin to mess up your whole entire life. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of sin. Just a little sin that gets into your life and influences a lifetime of rebellion against God. So God is saying we're going to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Take that yeast out. Don't rise up and swell up with bad influence. Amen? All right. That old you is gone. I'm taking you out of that. All right. Then there was a second cup. Still talking about the Passover meal. This is where they drank mostly, again, water with the wine, amen, and the head of the household at this point in time would explain the Passover and what God did to deliver Israel to the generations. So from generation to generation, at this time when they took the second cup, the head of the household, usually an older man, would say, this is what God did, so that we would not forget. Amen? The meaning, so you would understand that there was a time, y'all, when we were in slavery.
And the kids would go, oh, really, what happened? I remember hearing something about that, and God opened the Red Sea, and blah, 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 blah. So we would not forget that God delivered us.
Yes.
Amen? That's what they taught. Amen? So generation after generation, at this second cup, it would be the explanation of why we are doing this and what happened. It would give the children and the next generation the breakdown of what God did. Amen? All right. Still with me?
Yes, sir.
And at this point, right at this point, normally they would bring out the lamb that had already been slain, that had already been smeared over the doorpost. Amen? And they would take that sacrifice and they ate the whole lamb. All of it. Couldn't leave a piece that you didn't like. No picky eaters in your deliverance. Amen? Amen. I'm only going to take so much of the lamb. I don't want no lamb in this area of my life. Couldn't do that. Amen? All right. So, right at this point, I want us to fast forward. Go into the New Testament, because this is important. Turn to Matthew. I believe it's 26. Yes. Turn to Matthew, the 26th chapter. And I want you to see just how Jesus now institutes the Lord's Supper, almost as if it was an interruption. Or right on top of the Passover meal. Amen? Amen? Uh-huh. Right at the point where they're eating the Passover lamb. Look at this. Watch this. 26. Matthew just doesn't tell us a whole lot, but we know that from the prior verses that this is the celebration of the Passover lamb and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It says, as they were eating, what are they eating? What are they eating? The lamb. Amen. Amen. All right. And they're having the celebration. All right. So they're eating the lamb that they chose for the Passover. Right in the middle of that meal, what does Jesus do? Jesus took some bread. And he blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces. And he gave it to the disciples. Amen. And what did he say? Take, eat. Take this and eat it, for this is my body. Then, again, after the meal, he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them and said, each of you drink it. So everybody's getting some bread. Everybody's getting a cup of wine or getting a sip of the wine. Amen. All right. All right. And he says, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant, the new agreement between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. And then Luke records it this way in Luke 22, verse 20. Again, after supper, he took another cup. So this is a third cup. Amen. Of wine. And he says right here, he says, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. So at this point in the Passover meal, Jesus is replacing the Passover meal with his Lord's Supper. Amen? So, because Jesus is God, he has the authority to now say, okay, listen, this is what we're doing from now on. Amen? All right. He has the authority to institute a better covenant, a better agreement, a better deal, amen, than the one that they were used to. The Passover meal. Amen. I'll get into that a little bit more later. All right, now I know for some of you this may be a little elementary, but what we see here, I want you to notice something. It's a new covenant. It's a new agreement. Amen? All right? Uh-huh. Notice that in the Passover you had the bread, the wine, amen, and the lamb.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But here, Jesus only uses the bread and the cup of wine. Wait a minute. Where's the meat? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? We can't have a ceremony without a sacrifice. There's no agreement to take away sin without a sacrifice. Where is the sacrifice? Where John 1:29 tells us. John 1:29 says this. He says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's like saying, I am the sacrifice. I am the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Uh-huh. Now, let's go back to one more passage. Let's go back to the familiar one in Corinthians, where Paul reminds us the night before the crucifixion. All right? Right before Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Uh-huh. Right before he delivers Jesus into the hands of the enemy. Right before my sin and your sin is washed away forever. Uh-huh. Right before everything you've ever done and everything you ever will do gets completely wiped out because Jesus Christ has paid it all.
Oh.
Right before that, I need you to understand what's happening. Uh-huh. Right before my sin, your sin is totally wiped out. Uh-huh. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 11, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." Paul is saying that I got direct revelation on what Jesus is doing and what this all means. Amen? Amen? From the Lord himself. Jesus Christ said, this is the breakdown. This is what's really happening. All right? On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks for it. Gave thanks for it. Ooh, that's big. Uh-huh. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. This is what Jesus is doing. The Lord Jesus, who is God, is giving thanks to God the Father. Watch this. For giving him a body. Giving him a body, which is the only way that is possible, which makes it the only way possible for him to live and to die for me and you. Thank you for giving me a human body so I can die. My goodness, what kind of love? Thank you for giving me a human body specifically for the Jesus came to die. I know a lot of us think he came to give us benefits in our bank accounts and all that kind of stuff. No, no, no. Jesus came to die for our sins, people. Don't listen to that prosperity mess. Jesus came to die. What good is it for you to be prosperous if you're going straight to hell? Amen? All right. So for the purpose of dying for our sins, so Jesus is saying, thank you, Father, for giving me a body so I can die for them. And then he said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't let it become routine. Uh-huh. When you do this, remember me. Every single time we come and we partake of that cracker, the bread with no yeast, it's symbolizing Jesus living in his body his whole earthly life without 1 ounce of sin. Uh-huh. Why? Because we couldn't do it. Uh-huh. Never been able to do it. Uh-huh. I don't know about you, but I've been in this body for a very long time. Uh-huh. And sometimes I don't get past 10 minutes before I get a bad thought. Sometimes I don't get past 10 minutes before I do something that I'm not supposed to do. Huh? Say something I'm not supposed to say. Huh? Jesus is saying, thank you, God, for giving me, Father God, for giving me a body. Why? Because they can't do it. They have already polluted themselves. Oh, Lord. Uh-huh. One day, I can't go one day without confessing. Maybe it's just me. I can't go one day without confessing something and saying, Lord, what? That thought, that attitude, that motive. I'm obeying you with an attitude. Forgive me. Huh? There's some things I don't need to be doing. I can't stop. God, help me. I know I'm forgiven, but my God, can you help me? Jesus is saying, listen, people, I've given you my body because your body is already messed up. Jesus never sinned. He is the perfect sacrifice. So every time we come and we take of that bread, we remember that he said, listen, I'm giving you my body. Why? Because you're going to need it. You can't face God like that. Hebrews 4:15 says this.
This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. Uh-huh. For he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So thank God for Jesus giving us his body. Ah. Jesus broke the bread, and the bread symbolizes this is my body. Uh-huh. Then he passed it to each of them. And do you remember that the disciples at one point in time, you know, right around this time, they were saying, you know, they were having an argument.
Yeah.
And they were saying, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm the greatest disciple. I'm the baddest disciple. I don't know what kind of ministry you're going to have, but I'm going to have my ministry is going to be incredible. I am, you know, they're arguing amongst themselves who is the greatest. And Jesus is humbling them. And see, over and beyond the foot washing ceremony, which humbled them, he's humbling them saying, listen, Peter and John and Matthew, I know y'all think you're all that. But you better take this body. This is my body. Which is given for you.
My Lord.
Because you can't pull this off. You already messed up. I got to help you out because you don't understand what you're doing. Let me tell you something. From the time we get here, we were born in sin.
Yeah.
Huh? Shaping in iniquity. My daughter was born on Christmas Day. Okay? Beautiful. Praise the Lord, you brought her here on Christmas. I'm thinking that's something special. You know what I'm saying? That's great. She got here on Christmas Day. That's beautiful. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, that's wonderful. And even from the time when she first arrived, she was in sin. What are you talking about, Pastor? She looked at me and her mama when she came out, and she said, I don't know what word that was, but I know it wasn't holy. From that moment on, you messed up. Look, Christmas baby, you need Jesus too. This is my body, which is given for you. Amen? Given for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus gave his body because we are already, from the time we show up here. In sin, we were even conceived.
That's right.
She's yelling at us now, but what was she thinking the whole time she was in the womb?
Huh.
You know, you don't realize that there's life there.
Yeah.
Amen? Right. There's life there. You know, she's making decisions about our family. You're not telling her. Okay? Well, we have sin, people, and we have to go to Jesus Christ. Amen? And receive of him because we're not good enough. Amen? We're not good enough. It's humility. Amen? It's humility. Amen? All right. Verse 25. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup, again, after supper, okay, new agreement, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Amen? This was always coming. God promised that there would be a new agreement. He promised it in the Old Testament that there would be a new agreement. Give me Jeremiah 31:31. Let's just read this. I want you to see this. Amen? Especially the last part, but let me just set it up. Jeremiah 31:31. Amen? The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with my people, with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant. We'll come to that in a minute. Though I love them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days. This is the new covenant, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them. And I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God. And they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbor, nor will they need to teach their relative, saying, you know the Lord. You should know the Lord. What's happening here? It's not saying you don't need to come and understand or need to grow in knowledge. What he's saying is that you will have an intimate experience with God. It will be real. It won't just be religion.
Come on.
Amen. It won't just be religion. You will have to learn some things about God. Yes, but it won't be that you won't have to. You'll know the presence of God. I'll be inside of you. You'll understand me. You'll know my presence. You'll know me. Amen. And then it says that for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already. Why? Because I'll be in them. Amen. Says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness. And I will never again remember their sins. God is saying, I will be merciful to you. And I will wipe out your sins. And decide. Not because he has amnesia. I will decide not to remember them. I know what you did. I know how long you were doing it. But I've made a decision about you because of my new agreement. I will decide to remember them no more. My God. Somebody want to get happy about that? Lord. Only one condition. You got to trust and rely. Lean on. Place your life on my son, Jesus Christ, who is the only way I made out of this mess. Amen? Why? Because sin must be paid for. Yes. So there's a new covenant. There's a new agreement. What pays for the sins? Blood pays for the sins. Amen? The only way God could forgive sins is if someone very valuable paid for it. Amen. Let's go back. Come on. Remember in Genesis, Adam and Eve sinned, and they said, we're going to cover ourselves. And they went and got some swimsuits made out of leaves. And God said, that ain't good enough. I see you. Amen. He slaughtered some animals. Blood.
White show now.
No, no, not that. This.
This right.
Because what you thought was going to cover you, won't cover you. I have to provide the sacrifice. I provide the sacrifice. You don't know what's going to be good enough. I set the standard. I provide what's going to cover your sins. Amen. Amen. So blood, valuable blood, must pay for sins. When God made a deal with people, he confirmed it with blood. Why? So that mankind would know that the promises that God made to you would cost. Amen. It's going to cost blood.
That's right.
Amen. There must be death.
There must be death.
There must be. So what are you saying? It's as serious as life and death.
Right.
Amen. When we sin, that's serious, people. Amen. We don't take that lightly. Long ago, the Jews were in captivity under the Egyptians, and God delivered them out of bondage, and they thought that their deliverance was about them going to a new place to live. No. But it has always been and always shall be about God making his people brand new so they're fit to live with him. Do you understand that? It's not a new place to live. It's about God making you acceptable and fit to live with him. Amen? And how did he do it? By giving his only son and shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We don't take this lightly. Amen? So when we get the cup, when we partake of the cup, it's symbolizing the blood of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
The body is not the bread.
No.
Come on.
It's a symbol. The cup is not his blood. It's a symbol. We're not Catholics.
No.
Okay?
No.
Amen? All right. They teach that's not correct.
That is.
Amen? Why? Because Jesus was saying, this is my blood. How can you say that's his blood if he's sitting right there giving to you?
Right.
So he was alive at that time. He was talking about what he was going to do.
Yes.
Amen. It's a symbol. Just like the Passover had a lot of symbolism, the Lord's Supper has a lot of symbols. Okay? Amen? Do this in remembrance of me. Remember that the blood of Jesus is the one. That is what set us free, people.
Yes.
It's the blood of Jesus. That is what has paid our debt. Amen? That is what has made us clean. That is what washed us, made us fit for God. The blood. Amen. When God instituted the Passover a long time ago in the old covenant, just to give them a picture, they would slaughter thousands of lambs. Over, watch this, people. This is a count. 250,000 lambs being slaughtered between a 2-hour interval.
Can you picture that? The temple is a big place. And they are slaughtering lambs over and over and over. 250,000 lambs being slaughtered at one time for the sins of the people. Killed over a 2-hour period. So there's blood everywhere. Amen? The blood is it's a bloody mess. And that's what it would take back then. For people to have their sins, quote unquote, covered. Didn't change anything in their minds. Amen? But quote unquote covered. God was giving them a vivid picture. This is what you did. This is what it cost. This is what you did. This is what it cost. It was a vivid picture of some animal paying for all your mess. That's what he was putting out. That's what he was letting us know. Amen? Taking your punishment in your place. My Lord. It was a bunch of blood, so much blood, that they had constructed a place in the temple where they could let the blood flow out the back. Because there was so much blood everywhere. Amen? Amen. Amen. They drained the blood out of the city. But this was the blood of animals. So, if animals could sort of cover your sins, I mean, it doesn't erase them. What would the blood of Jesus do? What would the blood of God's only begotten Son do? Not just cover it, which never solved the problem. The blood of Jesus pays for it in full. The blood of Jesus completely takes sin away. Amen? The old covenant covered it, but Jesus' blood removes it.
Oh, glory, hallelujah.
Forever. It shall never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Wherever you are, the blood of Jesus will find you.
Oh, glory, hallelujah.
And remove the sin. Remove the sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we partake of the cup, that's why we celebrate. Because he wiped out our record with the blood of Jesus. Amen. This is why we come together. Do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:27. Almost done. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord. Even that. Even that. Whatever that is for you. Even that. Remove, pay for it. Oh, even that. My God. Oh, thank you, Lord. 27 verse, 1 Corinthians 11. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Paul here is speaking of the disgraceful conduct that characterized the Corinthians when they gathered for the Lord's Supper. They were guilty of being careless and irreverent. To act in that way makes you guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We may ask ourselves, what does it mean to partake of the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner? It means to disregard the true meaning of the bread and the cup. And forget the tremendous price our Savior paid for our salvation. It also means to allow the ceremony to become dead and formal and just some first Sunday ritual. It also means you come to the Lord's table with unconfessed sin. Don't even decide to wash your hands. Don't even try to make it right with God. Lord, I messed up. I
No, I blew it. I'm confessing.
Yeah.
It's an irreverent attitude. Just, you know, just come and you just do what we do because it's First Sunday. Amen? Not taking in the serious nature of the cost. Amen? We should examine ourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. Why? Because as I said in the beginning, as time goes on, things begin to lose their significance. It can become routine. Just something that we do. Amen? Let me show you what happened. Exodus 12, 11. Out of an Amplified version. And I think I'm done. Yeah. This is the instructions to the Israelites about the attitude that they need to have. It's gone? Okay. I don't know what happened. I'll read it. Now you are to eat it, meaning the Passover, in this manner. In other words, this is the kind of position, or heart position, or attitude you need to have. Okay? All right? Be prepared for a journey. Yeah. With your loins girded. That is, with the outer garment tucked into a band. They were tucked. They would tuck their clothing into a band. Why? Because you can't run with skirts and flowery. No, we're not going to a ball. We're getting up out of here. Okay? He's saying, I want you to have your loins girded, your outer garment tucked, your sandals on your feet, You're not kicking back. Your staff in your hand. And he says, you shall eat it quickly. Why? It is the Lord's Passover. Amen. I'm passing over your house. We're getting ready to leave here. In other words, don't get relaxed. You're not staying in the same place. You're not staying where you are. Eat like you're ready to leave at any moment. He's saying you're not staying here, people. He's saying you're not staying here. Don't get comfortable. Woo! This ain't your home. He was telling the Israelites, this ain't your home. God's saying the same to us. This ain't our home. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. You're not going to be blessed. You're not going to be blessed hanging out with Pharaoh. You're not going to be blessed. Don't get comfortable hanging out with Pharaoh. I never intended you to stay here. This ain't your home. Somebody needs to wake up. Get ready to go. This ain't it. This place ain't it. This world is not your home. Amen. Amen. Now, do this often so you don't forget what a blessing it is to be free. So you don't forget what a blessing it is to have the right perspective on this world. So you don't forget what a blessing it is not to know that you shouldn't get comfortable. Some people don't know. Some people, this is all they got. Well, we're not staying here, folks. So have your loins girded. What's the cross reference for that? Ephesians 6. We were talking about put on the whole armor of God. Be fully dressed. The breastplate of righteousness. The helmet of salvation. The shoes of the gospel. Get your sword in your hand. The shield of faith. Be ready. You're not staying. No, don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. But what happened? This is what happened. When you look at the ceremony or the culture of the Jews of the Passover some years later, something crept in. When they would eat the Passover meal, they would recline on the left-hand side.
Oh, yeah.
What am I doing? Do I look like I'm ready to go anywhere? Do I look like I'm ready to go anywhere? They would recline. Watch this, people. They said that position was a symbol of them finally being free. So they were celebrating Brayton being free from Pharaoh. The problem is later on, years down the road, they still had the same tradition. And they weren't free from the Romans, and they weren't free from themselves. So they still reclining and relaxing. But they weren't free at all. So here's the point. They got too relaxed. They got into the land that God had promised that generation, and folks got relaxed. The Passover was just a ceremony to them without any real significance or any real appreciation for what God had done for them. What happened? As the years went by, they forgot. They forgot the significance. But Jesus says, no. You do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget. So what happens to us? What's the tendency for us? We ask God to bless us. And then when he does, things get a little relaxed, don't they? We get a little comfortable. It's almost like we were better off when we were staying on our toes. Just like when God blesses you with a new house, you got relaxed because the truth is you were praying a lot more when you was on somebody's couch. What happened? You got a little place to stay, and now you got relaxed. I'll check in with you, God, at some point in time. I've got things to do now that you've given me what I've asked for. What happened? You got into the land and you got relaxed. God blessed you with a car, but you was praying more when you was on public transportation. Somebody know, God blessed you with a good job. You don't come to prayer no more. I don't have much to say to you, Lord. Now that you've blessed me, what happened? I begin to recline. I'm preaching the truth. So you know how we do. Get a little something. We don't win platinum in Jesus, and now we're ignoring Jesus. Woo! Come on, you know how it goes. Listen. When Israel didn't have a land to travel to anymore, when they actually got in the land, they reclined. They got relaxed. But see, for us, we know that this ain't our home. So there's always a land that we're traveling to. Amen? And Jesus is the only one that takes us there. Amen? Amen. We tend to do the same thing in communion. We recline and we forget the price that he paid and all the benefits that come from being made right with God through the shed blood and the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what happens is this, things get, you know, relaxed and the ceremony becomes routine. Just something that we do. You want to know why the old covenant failed? Let me tell you why the old covenant failed. It didn't fail because God made a mistake when he instituted it. No. He had a reason for instituting that old covenant. It failed simply because it was dependent on us to meet all the terms. You see? If you, then I will. If you do this, and I'll bless you. If you do that, God, I'll bless you. You keep my law, then I will bless you. So the problem is we proved this week we can't keep the law. Word, thought, and deed. Maybe not sleeping around like we used to. Maybe not on drugs like we used to. But again, how's your motive? Whose house you coveting? Whose job and position you coveting? I had to ask myself, Lord, whose church am I coveting? Who am I comparing myself to? Come on, let's be real. It didn't fail because God instituted it. It failed because we couldn't keep it. The terms were conditional.
Right. Yes, they were.
In record business, if you don't go by the terms in the contract, you don't get the benefits. You blow it. You're in breach of contract.
Yeah, that's right.
And every last one of us in this room, I don't care what super Christian you think you are, we are breached of God's contract. So the contract said, if you don't do it, there's no middle ground. There's one option for you. You ain't gonna make it. You, You will not go to heaven. You will be stuck in your sin. Let me tell you something. The contract for the church is written in such a way to where it doesn't depend on us.
Glory to God.
See, the new agreement doesn't depend on me and you. What God did is he said, I will validate this agreement by my own name, by my own power, by my own faithfulness, by my own sacrifice. I will make you clean. Because you couldn't do it for yourself, I'll do it. All you have to do is believe in my son. Trust in my son. Obey my son. Receive my son. I will send the Holy Spirit and he will begin to do in you what you couldn't do for yourself. The game is rigged, people, is what I'm trying to tell you. It's rigged. It's a foolproof plan.
Yes, it is. Woo!
Yes, foolproof plan.
Yes, it
is. Foolproof. God showed us. He showed us that we couldn't do it. But he already planned, not as an afterthought. It was already in the plan. It wasn't like, oh, they messed up. Let me do it. I don't know what to do now. No. He already planned to send his son to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. My God. So instead of being condemned by the law,
yes, sir.
We have grace because Jesus kept the law perfectly. He did it for us. This is very freeing, people. This is very freeing. It didn't depend on you. The new agreement, the new covenant, depended on God himself.
My Lord.
Amen.
For those of us who are the church, for those of us who do have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are in the new agreement.
Amen.
For those of you who are trusting in yourself, for those of us who think that we can keep God's law perfectly, you are stuck in the old agreement. Here's the problem. When Jesus instituted the Passover, the Lord's Supper, he wiped out.
Yes, he did.
He replaced the old agreement. So there really is no agreement. Amen. We don't celebrate Passover no more. No, we are the church. We are the redeemed. We are the set free. We are the bought, paid for, sealed by the Holy Spirit with the promises of God. That's who we are. For those of us who are trusting in yourself, you have nothing.
Nothing.
But your old track record where you've already proven how much we need Jesus Christ. Already. So when we take this communion today, will it be routine? Just another first Sunday? Just something that we do? Will we recognize that his body was given?
Given.
Because what I've done in my body ain't good enough. I've already messed it up.
Yeah.
That his blood, it instituted the new covenant where I am now one with God. Will we remember that? Will we do this in remembrance of him? I'm done. Thank God for the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has done for me what I could not do for myself. Glory be to God for the grace upon grace upon grace that is bestowed upon me. Even as a pastor, I need grace. How about anybody else need grace? Anybody else lean on that grace? Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of grace.